Last Lord's Day, we continued our sermon concerning this very fact. To deny God's existence means if you're going to be consistent, that is, you're going to have to deny many other things. And in our study last Lord's Day, we noted to deny God's existence is to deny that the human mother came first. In other words, the evolutionist cannot answer the question, which came first, the human mother or the human baby? The answer is obvious, the human mother, but they're not able to answer that. Then we also discussed to deny God's existence is to deny morality. Morality cannot come from non-morality, of course not. Right does not come from wrong. And everyone should see that. God set forth law, and thus his law established morality. And everybody should know that. Now, we want to continue our study this Lord's Day, and we'll want to do just that in a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning, yes, to preparing for eternity. And that's something we all must do if we're going to be prepared on the day of judgment. So let's be sure we're doing that. We want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we study God's precious word in our Bible classes. Then as we assemble together to worship God, we strive to do so with a proper attitude and also in accordance to the New Testament pattern, thus in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. You would be very much welcome to join in with us. Now, something else we always want to try to mention, and that is we're always glad to have Bible studies. So if you're interested in doing that, get in touch with us. We'd be happy to set that up. And also, we're glad to answer your Bible questions. We appreciate very much your comments, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Yes, and our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, let's get that out, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, let's get into our study as we're continuing with point number 5. To deny God's existence is to deny justice. Yes, God is just, and without God, there would be no justice. And how awful that would be. Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Yes, he is. Of course, God is just. Notice in the New Testament, Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fail, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. We don't want to be cut off. But you see, God is going to have good towards those that are obeying his will, there's going to be goodness. But on the other hand, those who are not obeying God's will, there's going to be severity if they die in that situation and not having repented before it's too late. So there's going to be justice, in other words. God is just, and everyone should certainly see that. Now, unpunished injustices during this life, as there are many of them. You see it on the news. People are getting away with things. Yes, corruption in high offices of our land. Yes, and it concerns us, as it should. But the point is, even if they get away with it in this life, if they stand before God on the day of judgment unprepared, they're not going to get away with a thing. There won't be any loopholes on the day of judgment, lawyers to get people out of a mess. No, sir. And we'll all stand before God and give an account. So we all need to be prepared is the point. And so we need to appreciate on the day of judgment, there will be no injustices on that great day. John 12:48, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." The doctrine of Christ, in other words, that's what Jesus has spoken. And it's his law that we will be judged by, because we all live this side of the cross. So we need to be prepared to stand before the Lord on that great day. Acts 17:31 also, because he hath appointed a day, Paul preaching on Mars Hill, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, that's Christ, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now let's note this before we move on. Without morality and law, as we talked about last Lord's Day, there would be no need for punishment for wrongdoing, because there would be no wrongdoing. And everyone would live like animals, survival of the fittest. But we don't want that. No, sir, no one should want to be in that situation, not even the evolutionists, as they talk about survival of the fittest. They wouldn't want society in that mode. But let's go on. Point number 6 now. To deny God's existence is to deny the conscience of man. Well, without God, there would be no conscience. Think about that. How did the conscience evolve? We asked the evolutionist to give us an explanation. I don't foresee one coming, as you certainly don't see animals with a conscience. No, sir, that is not the case. And the answer here, obviously, is that the conscience did not evolve. You see, God created man in his own image, Genesis 1:26. Thus we have a conscience. And we can see examples of that in the scriptures. Let's go to John 8, chapter 8, and you see here, starting in verse 5, "Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" You see, they had brought a woman, the scribes and Pharisees did, that was taken in adultery, verse 3. And they set her in the midst, and they say to Jesus, "This woman was taken in adultery," in the very act. And then they talk about how Moses, in the law of Moses, that such should be stoned. You see, they're trying to catch Jesus into a trap, to put him into a trap. And so you see in verse 6, after they had said, "But what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. That's their motive. You see, they didn't bring the man. They're not looking for justice, as we just talked about. Now, Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." Go ahead. Which one of you are without sin? Go ahead and cast that stone. What happened? Now verse 8. Again he stooped down, wrote on the ground. And they, here's our key verse, verse 9, "And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst." And so, there were no more accusers. There were no more witnesses. So Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." He didn't condone her sin. Of course not. He told her not to sin anymore. So it was obviously a sin. And I have an idea that she got out of that sinful situation, hopefully, and became a follower of the Lord. That's my hope anyway. Well, here's another example that we can look at in the New Testament, and that would be with Paul in Acts 23, verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." Yes, Paul had persecuted the church, consented to Stephen being stoned to death, but he did it with a good conscience because he believed it was the will of God. How many of us can say we have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day? Well, I certainly can't. Now notice Acts 24, 16, again Paul, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Now that's something we need to strive to be able to also say the same thing. Now, I want us to go over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, because herein is all three points to emphasize concerning our conscience. Notice, Peter said, the like figure, as he had been talking about Noah, and eight souls were saved by water, the previous verse, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. No one should miss that. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, of course. Now, notice all of us, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we need to have a good conscience. We need to have that conscience set towards God by his word, in other words. And then thirdly, we need to answer it when it goes off. Yes, we need to answer our conscience. And we have that conscience because God gave it to us. And that's certainly a point to make, isn't it? To deny the existence of God is to deny the conscience. Let's go on now to point number 7. To deny God's existence is to deny the truth. That's right. Without God, there would be no truth. And we could not know anything to be objective and absolute without the Bible. There are people that make that statement that truth is relative, yes, and subjective. That was Pilate's thinking in John 18:38, wasn't it? What is truth? He said, and walked away as if you couldn't answer it. There's a lot of people like that still today. And how awful it would be if there's no truth. Well, of course they're wrong. Pilate was wrong. And anyone that denies God is going to have to deny, though, that there's truth. There would be no way to heaven. Jesus said, "I am the truth and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." So without truth, there's no way to heaven. Jesus is that way, but he's also the truth. There would be no true freedom. Notice John 8:31 and 32. As Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If we don't know the truth, we can't be made free from our sins. It's just that plain and simple, and no one should miss that. We never want to deny God's existence, because we would have to deny so many other things. And it's so sad that people get caught up thinking atheism is now a smart thing. No, it's a foolish thing. And we should be seeing that as we see so many things that have to be denied if you're going to be consistent. Now note the parable of the soils in Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15. This represents four types of hearts. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, verse 11. And so, if you do away with God, you're doing away with the word of God. and you're doing away with the opportunity to accept the truth and become a child of God. Yes, there's different hearts. And now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. And Jesus prayed before going to the cross, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Therefore, the Holy Bible is the truth. And if you do away with God, you have no truth. You have no word of God. And everyone is left to do whatever they think is right. And what's that going to end up with? How many people are doing that today? And you can see the mess that we have. Now, we can easily prove that the Holy Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Yes, let's ask some important questions. How did about 40 men living over a period of 1,600 years write the 66 books of the Bible and all of them fit together perfectly? That's not possible without God inspiring the writers. You had different occupations, fishermen, tax collector, farmer. Amos was a farmer. Shepherd. David was a shepherd. Became a king. Yes, and you have kings writing. Yes, you just can't have all this, you know, variation and all these years, and yet the Bible fits together perfectly as they wrote different books, and all 66 books come together like a glove. You put your hand in a glove, fitting perfectly. Why are there no mistakes in history or geography? There are none. Going up in elevation, going down, it's always correct. Much information about cities, lakes, just a lot of geography, yes, and much history. So you can verify. Try that with the Book of Mormon or the Quran. You see, nothing like the Bible, where you can verify things, but there's no mistakes. Now, you'll find mistakes in the Book of Mormon. You'll find them in the Quran, but you won't find it in the Word of God in a proper translation. Now, how did the critics explain detail foretelling of things to come to pass? There's over 300 prophecies concerning Christ fulfilled. Yes, except his second coming. Now that's solid as a rock. You can't get away from that unless you want to be dishonest. And how did the writers know scientific facts before they were discovered many years later? Job, a patriarch, he knew about the empty place. Yes, the black hole is there. And he knew that the earth hangs upon nothing. Yes, he did, but how late was it before scientists understood that? Think about that. Job 26:7. He talked about the springs of the seas, God did. Yes, in Job 38:16. And so many other things we could give. Psalm 8:8. Paths of the seas. Yes, there's wind affecting the current. They're called the paths of the seas. Yes, as a naval navigator found those, Matthew Murray Fontaine, or was it Matthew Fontaine Murray, I believe, yes. And he was on his sickbed. His son was reading that psalm, and he went out and found those sea lanes. In Psalm 19, it talks about the sun comes out and goes in its circuit. Yes, it's in orbit. We know that now. That's solid evidence. But let's go on. Point number 8. To deny God's existence is to deny love. That's right. Without God, there would be no love. 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That's verse 16. God is love. Period. So if you do away with God, you're going to have to do away with love. The world thinks of love as infatuation or a physical attraction. This is not biblical agape love. No, like in John 3:16, a verse many people know, but they need to really understand what it's saying. For God so what? Loved the world. Did the world love God back? No. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now that's biblical agape love, and we should certainly appreciate it. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 43 and 44, yes, you've heard of old that you're to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. No, that wasn't God's way, but verse 44, Jesus said, love your enemies. That's agape love. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 3:16, 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do we love God? What does our life say? Let's go on. Point number nine. To deny God's existence is to deny light. Yes, without God there would be no light. 1 John 1:5-7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, as we've talked about, to deny God's existence is to deny love, because God is love. The same is true. To deny God's existence is to deny light, because God is light. Now, how horrible a thought to live in a world without light. Darkness, wickedness, evilness everywhere. What would the world be like if you took away all the Christian influence? I shudder to think. It's bad as it is. But take away the Christian influence, and you would no doubt end up the situation with before the Noahic flood. The people's imaginations and thought were continually on evil. Except for those eight souls, there would be no more folks around. That would have been it. But thankfully, there were those eight souls: Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. But we don't want to take away the Christian influence out of the world, do we? Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Can men see us reflecting the light of the only begotten, capital S-O-N, Son of God? We certainly want to be able to say that, do we not? Well, let's go on now and finish up our study with point number 10. And again, to be consistent, if one is going to deny God's existence, they're going to have to deny hope. That's right. Without God, there would be no hope for man. How awful a thought that is, to have no hope. You see, death is not to be feared by Christians, because we have hope. Yes, we do. As Paul could say, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He had real biblical hope. He didn't have just wishful thinking. No, he had hope that's based on evidence and true expectation, because he knows God cannot lie. And we should know that too. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. This is speaking of Gentiles. And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Again, that's a terrible thought. Having no hope. Without God, we We don't want to be in that situation, having no hope without God. But that's what a atheist, that's what their situation is, those that are denying God's existence outright. You have more and more now coming out thinking that's a new way to go. Do away with all religion. Well, you do away with God, and you don't have any hope. When you're dead like Rover, all over. That's what you're going to have to say, isn't it? Once you're dead, you're out of existence. And how attractive is that? I don't see the attraction, and no one else should see it. Without Christ, there is no hope, because Christ is our hope. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. He was right, because he was writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Yes. In Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. If Christ is not in us, we do not have the hope of glory. We have no hope. Colossians 1:5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. If we don't have the word of truth, if we don't have the gospel of Christ, we can't have any hope. We must, of course, submit to the gospel of Christ. And then we will have that blessed hope. Certainly, that's what we all should desire. Now, as we come to a close of our study, only the foolish will deny God. Yes, that's right. Because if we eliminate God, you know, there would be no salvation. There's no hope after death, period. And actually, the bottom line is this: without God, there's no life, because God is living. He's a living, supreme being, and he gave life. And if you take away God, you take away life. There is no life, period. Life doesn't come out of non-life. That's ridiculous. And everyone should see it. God is alive, and our faith should be strengthened as we realize all these things and more also that would be involved when you deny God's existence. You're denying all these other things as we've discussed, and even much more. So as Christians, we should all be motivated to serve God with all our being. Have we obeyed God? Do we love God? We stand ready to assist you in obeying the gospel. We have to hear the truth. As we've talked about, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, having died for our sins. Now we're ready to repent. Changing our wills and doing God's will. Then we're ready to make the good confession unto salvation. And now we're ready to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you so much for listening today.